Welcome to the East County Magazine radio show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio representing the public interest, not special interest. Broadcasting from the heart of East County and Descanso on KNSJ 89.1 FM, your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso. This Thanksgiving week, we open our show with the latest on the spike in COVID-19 cases locally and nationally, along with some recommendations from county and state public health officials regarding gatherings and holiday travel. Then we have a report on a new dark skies ordinance to preserve stargazing opportunities in Julian as well as in Borrego Springs. Our Destination East County feature is finally back, with some special holiday season events, including virtual happenings, some drive-through holiday lighting events, and some socially distanced live events to brighten up your holidays even amid a pandemic. Then, from California News Service, we'll have a report on budget concerns for colleges, universities, and community colleges next year, and how budget cuts could impact minority students most severely. From Public News Service, we'll have the latest national headlines, including Thanksgiving travel trends, the latest on the presidential race, and more. On the second half of our show today, we'll be airing an interview taped last week with Greg Palast, investigative journalist, author, and filmmaker, on his investigations into election integrity in the 2020 presidential election and the upcoming runoff elections in Georgia that could determine the balance of power in the U.S. Senate. So stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show, where East County matters. San Diego County public health officials on Saturday reported a record high of 1,478 new COVID-19 infections, along with six more deaths, raising the region's total to over 70,000 cases and 966 deaths. Saturday was the 11th consecutive day with over 600 new coronavirus cases reported countywide, and the most in a single day. Over the last week, 5 days had 900 cases or more. That's triple what it was just 3 weeks ago. County health officials are attributing the sharp spike in cases to pandemic fatigue, with people letting their guard down and not following public health rules. They're urging San Diegans to avoid gatherings and take COVID-19 seriously over the upcoming Thanksgiving holiday week. Dr. Wilma Wooten, the county's public health officer, says the virus is widespread and every element of our community is impacted. Now more than ever, it is vital that San Diegans avoid gatherings and crowds, wear a face covering when they are out in public, and stay home if they are sick. Nationwide, the U.S. recorded its 12 millionth COVID-19 case on Saturday, with over 255,000 people dead of the disease. That's more than a quarter million. 5 times the number killed in the Vietnam War. The number of COVID-19 cases in San Diego County hospitals continues to rise, with 440 currently hospitalized in the county and another 127 patients in intensive care, nearly double the numbers a month ago. Dr. Wooten says anyone hosting a gathering should keep it small, short, and safe. Gatherings should be limited to, at most, 3 stable households. Short means less than 2 hours. Safe means people should stay outdoors as much as possible and wear a face covering when they're not eating or drinking. San Diego and other California counties in the state's purple tier are subject to a curfew now, prohibiting all non-essential activities and gatherings between 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. However, you can still go out to exercise, walk your dog, ride your horse, and do essential things such as get groceries or medications or seek medical care, either alone or with members of your household. The state of California has issued a travel advisory urging Californians to avoid non-essential travel out of state or out of your region and to self-quarantine if you do leave the region. The county has also been cracking down on businesses and places of worship that are violating public health orders, issuing dozens of cease and desist orders in the last week to entities that defied shutdown orders on indoor operations of restaurants, bars, gyms, and houses of worship, or that were not requiring masks and social distancing. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
San Diego supervisors have voted to approve amendments to the county's light pollution ordinance, which will provide dark sky community designation to to both the Julian and Borrego Springs community planning areas. The action aims to prevent light pollution, enhancing astronomy viewing and related tourism. The vote comes after the Julian Dark Sky Network asked supervisors back in 2018 to create a way for Julian to meet International Dark Sky Association recognition. Borrego Springs was the first California community to receive that designation in 2009. The Borrego area has become a mecca for stargazing visitors, seeking to view the constellations, planets, and the Milky Way galaxy in the desert community's dark skies. According to the Julian Dark Sky Network's webpage, only 1% of communities in the U.S. can still see the Milky Way, including Julian. The group seeks to protect their mountain community from the glow of urban San Diego lights. The new ordinance will regulate light levels, light shielding, colors of lighting, and sign illumination. Residents and businesses in the Julian and Borrego Springs planning areas will have 10 years to comply with the new standards. The county estimates that compliance costs will be minimal, since most lighting fixtures would need to be changed out over the next decade anyway by homeowners and businesses. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
Welcome to Destination East County with your hosts, Rebecca Williamson
and Jonathan Getz, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week.
This is Jonathan Getz with a special edition of Destination East County, featuring seasonal and holiday events, real and virtual, to brighten up your holiday season even amid a pandemic. Events coming up include November, a satirical play produced online by San Diego's Trinity Theater, La Mesa's Holiday in the Village, complete with craft market, an Enchanted Village drive-through holiday lighting extravaganza at Noah's Homes in Spring Valley, more holiday lights at Starlight Circle and Lantern Crest in Santee, a Thanksgiving turkey bash and Christmas with the animals at Lions, Tigers, and Bears, plus real and virtual visits with Santa Claus via Parkway Plaza in El Cajon. Trinity Theater of San Diego invites you to join in a Zoom production of November, a new Oval Office satire by playwright David Mamet. The play has one virtual showing left on Saturday, November 28th at 7 p.m. It depicts one November day in the life of a beleaguered American commander-in-chief as the presidential election approaches. Incumbent Charles Smith's chances for re-election are looking grim. Approval ratings are down, his money's running out, and nuclear war may be imminent. Though his staff has thrown in the towel and his wife has begun to prepare for her post-White House life, Smith isn't ready to give up amidst the biggest fight of his political career. The president has to find time to pardon a couple of turkeys before Thanksgiving, inspiring Smith to risk all in an attempt to win back public support. November is a hilarious take on the state of America today and the lengths to which people will go to win. For tickets to this online production, you can visit trinityttc.org. Santee will celebrate its 40th birthday on December 1st at 7 p.m. by holding simultaneous fireworks displays at two sites, allowing residents a chance to cheer while staying safely apart. Fireworks will be shot off from both Town Center Park and West Hills High School. The locations are closed to the public due to COVID-19, but people can view the fireworks from their homes or any nearby location. There will also be upbeat music to accompany the fireworks that watchers can access via a city website link to be posted before the event. The city has already arranged with about a dozen local retailers to hand out official birthday sweets. A list of those retailers and more details are available at the city's website, cityofsanteeassociate.gov. La Mesa will host its annual Holiday in the Village on December 5th from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., including a holiday craft market approved by county health officials. You're invited to come ring in the holiday cheer amid a jingly winter wonderland in La Mesa's downtown village, where guests can enjoy holiday music, craft vendors, a food court, and holiday joy globe photo station. See the red toy soldier and reindeer of winter as you peruse the village. To protect public health, temperature checks, masks, and social distancing are required. There is no admission fee for this event, which you can learn more about at lamesavillageassociation.org. Noah's Homes in Spring Valley invites you to visit its enchanted village, a drive-through holiday lights extravaganza, December 18th through the 23rd. Guests will begin the holiday adventure at Steel Canyon High School and then travel through a winter wonderland, complete with drive-through candy cane lighted tunnel, displays with over a 500,000 lights, a towering musical Christmas tree, socially distanced interactions with an elf, and themed zones such as Candyland and Holiday Under the Sea. You can also enjoy holiday music and have photos taken with the digital Santa Claus added into your vehicle along with you and your household members. All proceeds benefit Noah's Homes nonprofit housing and services for adults with disabilities. Over 1,800 vehicles are expected to visit and reservations are required. For tickets, you can visit enchantedvillage.org. Santee's Starlight Circle, a yearly holiday tradition of Christmas lights and decorations, will continue spreading holiday cheer during the pandemic. This year, visitors are encouraged to enjoy driving along Glendon Circle, located just off North Magnolia, in their cars for social distancing, instead of walking through the elaborate lighting displays. There are no fees for this event, which is not organized by any group. Homeowners in the community typically have lights on starting December 1st, through at least Christmas Day, December 25th, with lights on from around 5:30 to 10 p.m. More information is available on the Facebook pages for Starlight Circle Santee. Lantern Crest Senior Living in Santee will transform into a drive-through holiday extravaganza, open to the public each Thursday through Sunday night in December from 6 to 8 p.m. Guests will see holiday displays and light shows from the comfort of their cars, with no admission cost. There will also be a drive-up Santa's workshop where you can purchase hot cocoa, apple cider, and sweet treats, as well as a photo booth. Proceeds will go to Lantern Crest Foundation, which benefits low-income seniors locally. Lantern Crest is located at 300 Lantern Crest Way in Santee. Lions, Tigers, and Bears, San Diego's only accredited big cat and bear sanctuary, is welcoming guests to spend the holidays with its resident exotic animals. A Thanksgiving turkey bash on Friday and Saturday, November 27th and 28th at 10 a.m. will include a holiday feast for big cats and bears, including turkeys and stuffed pumpkins. Christmas with the animals on Saturday, December 12th at 12 noon will bring holiday cheer as guests watch the animals open their Christmas gifts. Lions, Tigers, and Bears founder and director Bobby Brink says these festivities will provide social distancing for small groups this year and require face coverings due to the pandemic. She adds, "It's extra special to see the lions leaping into the pool once a turkey is involved, or to see the bears meticulously unwrap their Christmas gifts." For ticket information and reservations, visit lionstigersandbears.org. Visiting Santa is a treasured holiday tradition. This year, despite a pandemic, Parkway Plaza Regional Shopping Mall in El Cajon is making sure that every child can see Santa. With help from the elves and partners at Cherry Hill Programs, you can either visit Santa at the mall or online now through December 24th. For in-person Santa visits and photos, you can make an appointment online at shoppingparkwayplaza.com. Walk-ins will be taken on a space available basis, though children won't be sitting on Santa's lap this holiday season due to social distancing needs. Or you can sign up for a virtual holiday experience this holiday season. Reservations are limited for virtual Santa options, some of which are complimentary, while others have fees. Options include a live Zoom video call with Santa, virtual photos of kids or pets with Santa, story time with Santa, and more. To make reservations for a virtual Santa visit, you can go to createholidaymagic.com.
See you around, East County.
Budget experts predict California will face multi-billion dollar deficits in 2022 and beyond as a result of the pandemic, and groups are calling on policymakers to protect higher education. Places like community colleges will be key to getting people trained and back to work, but only if they can stay in business. A new report from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and Lumina Foundation cautions against indiscriminate funding cuts. Gabriela Gomez with the Gates Foundation says a budget should not be a blunt instrument.
These cuts where you slash and burn across the board just don't work. And actually what ends up happening is there's tremendous rollback.
The report calls for a students-first approach and functions as a guide for policymakers to support lower-income students of color and adult learners who are retraining after losing their jobs. That means protecting financial aid and prioritizing the community college systems that serve vulnerable populations. During the Great Recession, California cut $1.5 billion from higher education. Schools had to reduce classes and raise tuition, and as a result, enrollment is still down more than a decade later. Gomez says this time, states can do better.
Let's not repeat the mistakes of the past. Let's actually take what we know from the past and apply it in this context right now.
The report also suggests colleges and universities dedicate staffers to helping students finish their degrees and promote short-term credentials in job fields that are currently in demand. Support for this reporting was provided by Lumina Foundation. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast, November the 23rd, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. The number of travelers over the Thanksgiving holiday expected to be the lowest since the Great Recession. Our Eric Taganoff tells us AAA says travel volume during the pandemic will most likely fall by at least 10%.
About 266,000 Idahoans are anticipated to take trips for the holiday weekend. AAA Idaho Public Affairs Director Matthew Condi says staying home and avoiding large gatherings are the best ways to prevent the spread of COVID-19.
Even though it's a very personal decision whether or not you're going to travel, we need people to be informed. We need people to understand the risks involved, because it could really impact a lot of people if we have people that aren't conscientious about what they're doing.
The Center for Disease Control and Prevention recommends people do not travel for Thanksgiving. If they do, Condi notes travel restrictions are in place for some states. AAA has a map showing which states and localities have COVID-19 restrictions.
It is recommended folks who are flying show up early because COVID-19 procedures could make security lines longer. Bloomberg is reporting President Trump's campaign filed notice it is appealing the dismissal of a federal lawsuit that aimed to block Pennsylvania from certifying its election results unless the state invalidated tens of thousands of mail-in ballots. Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani has said the case could be decided by the Supreme Court, which has a 6-3 conservative majority. Bloomberg notes the move is unlikely to stop Pennsylvania from certifying President-elect Joe Biden's victory in the state as soon as Monday. And as the nation grapples with racial justice, California's 7-year-old cap-and-trade system faces criticism from environmental justice groups.
They say the system, which was supposed to lower greenhouse gases, isn't working, or at least not fast enough. The cap-and-trade system sets a limit on total emissions from facilities like refineries and power plants, but allows them to continue polluting as long as they buy credits from the state or from companies working to reduce emissions elsewhere. Denny Kamphathong with the Asian Pacific Environmental Network says his health suffered growing up in Richmond in the shadow of a Chevron oil refinery.
When you grow up in it, it seems normal. But as I got older and got to like work in different places, I was like, wait a minute, this is not adding up right. I had a weird looking inhaler. You know, you see every kid around the block have this. We all got dealt that same card.
At issue is whether the system sacrifices disadvantaged communities near oil and gas facilities like Richmond in the Bay Area and Wilmington in Southern California. For Public News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
This story was produced with original reporting from Julia Rosen for Yes Media and funded in part by a grant from the Society for Environmental Journalists Fund for Environmental Journalism. This is PNS. The COVID-19 pandemic has practically wiped out the market for fresh oysters, but conservationists are helping out by buying up their surplus for oyster restoration projects.
Oysters are both a sustainable source of seafood and an important part of marine ecology. Oyster reefs around New York Harbor and Long Island help protect shorelines, and the oysters filter seawater, removing sediments and pollutants such as nitrogen that cause algal blooms. According to Adam Stark with the Nature Conservancy, while the effort right now is focused on the growers, it serves two functions.
It pairs the need of the growers to unload their oysters that are losing value and helps provide a home for those oysters by connecting to restoration projects.
A second phase of the project, called Supporting Oyster Aquaculture and Restoration, will help oyster farmers diversify and adopt sustainable business practices. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
Working in partnership with the Pew Charitable Trust, the program plans to distribute about $2 million in payments to oyster farmers over 2 years. As Colorado faces multi-billion dollar budget deficits in coming years due to the economic fallout from the pandemic, a new report warns that indiscriminate cuts to higher education will make it harder to get people trained and back to work.
Dr. Angie Piccioni with the Colorado Department of Higher Education says while the concept of sharing the pain equally sounds fair, it's not.
Because across-the-board cuts disproportionately impact some of our small, rural, comprehensive four-year institutions who depend more heavily on state funds.
Budget experts predict that Colorado will see revenues decline by $2.1 billion in the fiscal year that starts in July 2021, with losses of $1.5 billion the following year. I'm Eric Galatis.
And finally, our Tremell Gomes reminds us back in September as Hurricane Sally battered Florida's panhandle with a deluge of rain and high winds. Some locals said their living shorelines were their best defense.
Instead of a hardened seawall aimed at protecting shores from erosion, living shorelines use vegetation and other natural elements like oyster shells to stabilize estuarine coasts, bays, and tributaries. Josh Poole built a living shoreline around his property in Gulf Breeze.
I literally thought that the beach would be gone. I thought that the rocks would be gone. I thought the oyster shells would all be just washed away. And I was absolutely amazed to find that a few of the larger boulders on top have been moved around, maybe a few feet. I mean, literally 18 inches.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, heard on great radio stations across the nation, and online at publicnewsservice.org.
The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio, 89.1 FM Descanso, is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interests, not special interests. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Now stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show. Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers.
This is Miriam Raftery with East County Magazine, and I am delighted today to have our special guest, investigative journalist and author Greg Palast. He's written several New York Times best-selling books, and he's a national expert on election integrity issues. He's been involved in filing some legal challenges to restore voting rights for people who were found to have been wrongly purged off voting rolls in key swing states. And just recently, the ACLU issued his report, Georgia Voter Roll Purge Errors, which identified over 198,000 voters wrongly removed, mostly people of color. He runs the Greg Palast Investigative Fund, which you can find at gregpalast.com. And he's also won a whole bunch of awards for his journalism work. And today he's here to talk about the 2020 election. So, Greg, welcome.
Glad to be with you again, Miriam.
It's always a pleasure. So let's start. President Donald Trump has been calling this outcome election fraud, filing legal challenges all over the place. Greg is a longtime expert on these things. How confident are you in the outcome, which as of today has Joe Biden as the winner with about a 5 million vote margin and 306 electoral votes?
Well, I'm not confident at all. Because right now, Donald Trump is spending a lot of time trying to convince states not to certify the vote, you know, saying, oh, I heard Donnie Jr. say the mail-in ballots came from Mars. Well, I checked. They don't sell postage stamps on Mars, so they couldn't have been mailed from Mars. So they're throwing up this smoke and con that there are all these illegal ballots. You know, people swam the Rio Grande to vote, that, you know, that people swipe mail-in ballots and fill them out. I mean, all this stuff. But they haven't, you know, they literally haven't provided one case, not one, of an illegal ballot. They haven't shown us one ballot, not let alone millions and millions that they need to.
Right. It's kind of shocking that as of today, there's been, I think, at least a dozen court challenges he's filed in all these different states or voters, you know, on behalf of him. And they've all been either thrown out by the judges or, you know, ruled against, or in a couple of cases, they withdrew it themselves for lack of evidence. I mean, normally doesn't one have evidence before you go and file a lawsuit? It's kind of.
Well, okay. Okay, let's not get too arrogant about this and be too confident.
Right.
He's trying to get the states. It's up to the state legislatures. Read your constitution. There's nothing about voting in the United States Constitution whatsoever.
Really?
Yes. And it says that the electors to choose the president are chosen not by voters, but by state legislatures. That's Article 2 of the Constitution. Our founding fathers did not trust us. So they said it's up to the legislatures. And that's serious stuff, because we've had legislatures refuse their voters' will. And they could say, look, we can't tell. There's too many fraudulent ballots. We couldn't observe the count, blah, blah, blah. And so if they can get the Republican legislatures of Pennsylvania and Arizona and Georgia to say, gee, we just can't tell what's going on here, then there'll be no certification of the vote. If there's no certification in a couple of states, 2-3 states, Joe Biden doesn't get 270 electoral votes. Neither does Trump. But then it goes to the House of Representatives. And no, Nancy Pelosi does not pick the president out of her sorting hat. It's one vote per state. California gets the same vote as South Dakota. 26 Republican delegations represent a tiny minority of the population of America, but they get to choose. They could choose Donald Trump as our president under the Constitution. That's how it is written.
Do you believe now, that there's very much likelihood that that would actually happen? I know it's certainly possible, but is it, I mean, how likely do you think that is?
Not likely, but either was Trump's election in the first place, which he stole. Okay. So those of you remember my book, my film, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy.
Right.
I said Trump was going to steal 2016, and everyone was buying their party dresses for Hillary's inaugural. Remember, they're going to drop the balloons through the glass ceiling.
Yeah, they weren't counting.
Well, how did that work out for you, President Hillary? It didn't. So, you know, once again, we are celebrating before the race is over. We haven't broken the tape.
Right.
That's one. And now, by the way, I'm not even partisan. Pick Trump. You want Trump, but that's fine with me, as long as it's a choice of the voters.
Correct.
But it wasn't in 2016. It was stolen. And that's why I wrote a book, How Trump Stole 2020. It was based on 16, and he almost pulled it off here, but he may have stolen the Senate. I'm very concerned about what's going on.
And we're going to get to that with the Georgia races and so forth, but just to a very thumbnail background for people who didn't hear the earlier interviews or didn't read your book, what you wrote about was people being thrown off voting rolls wrongly, primarily people of color, people who were Black, Hispanic, Asian, right? Because they said that they were duplicate voters, and yet really it might be similar names, different middle initial, different social security numbers.
Well, there's two groups, actually. One is that they use a system for a while in 30 states called interstate cross-check. They're looking for people voting twice, you know, those terrible criminals.
Yeah.
And actually, they got a lot of praise from PBS and NPR and NBC and all. They said, oh, this great system for finding double voters. What double voters?
Yeah, and the movie was great, where you went and tracked down these actual supposed double voters.
Yeah.
It was like elderly people, grandma. And Willie, a guy named Willie, that turned out to be a country music singer, y'all might know.
So we had Willie Nelson, for example. Mm-hmm. Willie Nelson, the country singer, he's in my film playing a stoner musician, in other words, himself. And he was They said he was the same voter as Willie Mae Nelson, a woman in Mississippi's Texas. And so I asked Willie, how'd you get away with voting as a woman with that beard? Was it the pigtails? And, you know, and he thought he said, I don't know what you're high on. I don't know what he was high on either. But here's the thing is we had names like Jose Garcia in Georgia. They removed 567 guys named James Brown, saying that they're registered in other states. And I went to Michigan and I said, James Brown, Michael Brown, Jose Garcia. You don't realize that these are common names, and not just any common names. 85 of the 100 most common names in America are minority names. Jose Garcia, James Brown, Johnson, Kim, David Kim. How many doctors named David Kim?
So it was an intentional effort, essentially, in your view, to purge minority voters. Now, fast forward to this election. Tell us about this voter purge that you discovered in Georgia that the ACLU, has been all over.
Right. Well, the ACLU with Black Voters Matter issued my report. I went through, after suing the state of Georgia because they were withholding information, I went through the voter rolls of the people that were purged. I had a suit to get those names. We went through and we found out that 198,351 people were wrongly removed from the voter rolls. Their only crime was voting while Black. Well, who are these people? How they get rid of, why they get rid of them? Why they say they couldn't vote? Well, I was down in Georgia when they started this purge in 18. And I was at the Atlanta polling stations when the 92-year-old woman was voting for her 50th year in a row. And they said, scram, you can't vote here anymore. So why? So I looked her up on our list, and she was removed like almost everyone that was removed from this list in Georgia because they said she moved. Well, you can't vote in Atlanta if you don't live in Atlanta.
And do they have any evidence to make them think this person had moved?
Or well, that's the question. So the first thing I did is I questioned her. I said, so I went back to her house that they said she moved out of. There was Martin Luther King's picture on the wall with her at her dining room table. So she had to be there at least 60 years.
Yeah.
I said, so you knew Dr. King? She says, that's my cousin. He came here every Sunday after.
Oh, my goodness.
For lunch. Wow. And so what happened is, so they accused her of moving. She hadn't moved anywhere. And with another 198,000 people, whose only crime really was voting while Black. I had the Raheem Shabazz, a local broadcaster, Ashley Jones, a Latina, Jasmine Bakhtiar, a Muslim immigrant. You get the picture. They are figuring out how to get rid of voters of color. And what we found out is that they were using wrong lists. Well, they liked having the wrong list. They don't want the right list. They wanted to get it wrong because it was removing voters of color and young people.
So once you figured this out, you had a positive outcome on this one, Greg, right? Tell us what happened.
Well, partly positive. I mean, we don't know yet because we uncovered the 198,000 illegally removed. The ACLU put out that report. Black Voters Matter has been on it. Mm-hmm. We've sent out 98,000 postcards, by the way, to try to warn people to re-register. Yeah. But, it's postcards. It's like people.
Do we know how many were able to get re-registered?
We don't know, except it's many thousands. And probably because if you go to gregpalast.com, you'll see a 60-second PSA, which is seen by 7 million people so far, and a little longer film, about 14 minutes long, about what's going on in Georgia. And that was released by Leonardo DiCaprio from his Instagram site.
Yeah.
And so we got a tremendous amount of views and coverage, plus the phone calling done by Georgia activists. And now, we're taking whatever legal action we can, but we are really trying to notify people as best we can through publicity and through contacting, phone banking, you name it, to get people to check their registration. Most people, just like Mrs. Jordan, you can't, why should she, after 50 years, be checking her registration before she votes? Everyone should. And by the way, just because you're in California, don't assume that you can vote either. I was purged. I had to re-register. And you always go online. If you see your name missing from the voter rolls? You always check with your Secretary of State or vote.org or gregpalace.com. Mm-hmm. If you're missing, go on.
San Diego, we should say it's sdvote.com.
sdvote.com, okay. Mm-hmm. And if you're no longer on the voter rolls, go online, re-register on the spot, and do it right away. In Georgia, there's the runoff. People and have to re-register by December 7th for the runoff, which will be January 5.
Right. And we'll talk in a moment about those two key Senate races. But I want to ask you first about the recount in Georgia that the Republican Secretary of State has ordered. They say they're going to hand recount every single ballot. And now this week it's come out that the Secretary of State claims that Republican Senator Lindsey Graham tried to convince him to dump a bunch of Democratic ballots during the recount. I mean, this is really, espionage kind of cloak and dagger sounding stuff.
Well,
Craig, are you surprised? And what's with this Secretary of State?
What's with this Secretary of State? He's already dumped thousands and thousands and thousands of votes for the Republican Party. He's a Republican hack of the worst order.
So and why is he
been running
this?
A Jim Crow operation?
Right.
Let me tell you something. Somehow this is one of the problems I have with our media and Democratic Party, whatever. If Trump or a nutcase like Lindsey Graham attacks someone, they must be a hero. This guy ain't a hero. I just told you he removed 198,000 voters, mostly voters of color and young people. He did his best to fix this election for them. What they're sorry.
Why do you think he's now trashing Lindsey Graham? It's just odd, because you're right. I mean, the Secretary of State has a very nefarious history that's been very well documented.
Yeah. I mean, this guy is, I had to sue him in court to get the names of the people he removed from the voter rolls and his secret back and forth with a guy named Chris Kobach of Kansas.
Oh, yeah.
Who
came up with the cross check, the other voter.
Yeah, the guy who came up with that cross check system. And so we needed to open their file. So this guy's been secretive. He's run a racist purge program. And he's also, when you talk about not counting ballots, he's done a very good job of not counting ballots so far. So you understand.
What are you concerned about, if you're concerned about the recount? And how confident do you think people should be in the outcome of this?
I wouldn't be confident at all. But the thing is, okay, let's get this clear now. Joe Biden has won Georgia, and they can recount the ballots 700 times, and Joe Biden will win Georgia. And what Lindsey Graham was hoping to do to pleasure Agent Orange, his president, is to try to get them to throw out more ballots. But you have to understand no one has talked about the fact that they have rejected thousands and thousands and thousands of mail-in ballots. And as you know, the Democratic Party told people to go postal and
go by mail, right?
I just found, according to Gwinnett County, we just spoke to them. Are you ready for this? They've already rejected 30% of mail-in ballots, overwhelmingly.
So in other words, if Biden wins, so want to be clear here, what you're saying is that because Trump told his people to go vote at the polls, vote in person, the mail isn't safe, and Democrats are telling people, no, worry about the virus at the polls, go vote by mail, that they got rid of a lot of mailed in ballots. You've seen evidence of this. So if anything, Biden's win in Georgia, if those ballots hadn't been thrown out or purged, would probably have been much, much higher than it is. He won, but he probably won by even, if there was any fraud, it was getting rid of Democratic ballots.
Yeah, but that's primarily insignificant, because you win. Mm-hmm. So what's going on here? This guy knows that Trump was calling for was reviewing all the ballots and whether they should be, whether they are qualified ballots. And let me tell you something. If you review those mail-in ballots, the rejections, many rejections are going to be reversed. In other words, they stopped people postage due. They didn't like, they challenged a signature. They used a red pen instead of a blue pen. They tape shut the inside envelope. And if you tape shut your envelope, you could disqualify your ballot. So they come with all these cockamamie reasons to thwart the voter's intent. Whereas the general rule is, if you can get the voter's intent and the ballot isn't fraudulent, and there are no fraudulent ballots, they can't, like I say, they can't find one, those ballots should be counted. So this GOP operatives understands very well, if you start really counting those ballots, really going through which ballots should be rejected and accepted, John Ossoff will be senator because he barely fell short of the 50% plus one vote that he needed to avoid a runoff. You start looking through those ballots carefully, Mr. Graham, Mr. Trump, and there won't be a runoff. And so that's for the Ossoff seat. So believe me, he understands what's going on. They don't. But you know what? I'm really getting sick of Democrats making heroes out of guys just because Trump attacks them. Trump also attacked Lindsey Graham. Is he a hero? I don't think so.
Yeah. So let's talk about the elections that presumably are coming up. The balance of the Senate hangs in the balance of power in the Senate hangs in the balance. Now, it hinges on these two special elections in Georgia, where they had vacancies to fill. The November election there was essentially like a primary. And of course, federal law requires that in congressional elections, you have a runoff. So that's what's happening in January, a runoff election for two seats. If the Democrats were to win both of these seats, it would be a 50-50 split in the Senate with Vice President Kamala Harris, assuming Biden is seated as the next president, she would cast the deciding vote.
That's right.
A lot at stake in these Georgia special elections. So tell us what your concerns are about those, Greg.
Well, I told you 198,000 Georgians illegally removed from the voter rolls. We got tens of thousands back on. Now we got to get the rest on is number one. You know, and by the way, very interesting, in New York Times, they showed that the number of the percentage of African-American registered voters who came out was as high as when they came out for Barack Obama in 2008. And yet the number of Black people as a percentage of registered voters has declined. How does voter registration among Black people decline? The only way you can do it is unless there was a massive die-off of Black voters, and the coronavirus hasn't been that bad. In fact, what you've had is the erasure of Black voters and Hispanic voters and young voters from the voter rolls. So what I'm concerned with is all these voters who went to go to who wanted to vote and found out they didn't get a mail-in ballot. They didn't know why, because they were purged, or they went in and they were told you can't vote, or they were shunted to provisional ballots. That's why the exit polls and the polling showed a higher. It wasn't a squeaker. If you look at the polls, and the polls are not wrong. Would these pollsters stop apologizing? I used to teach statistics. No, guys, my fellow statisticians, you didn't get it wrong. The polls are correct. The problem is the number of votes which are not counted in America. We never discussed that, Miriam. I mean,
yeah, we should.
According to the Elections Assistance Commission, which is our official agency, which tracks not only voting, but non-voting. And according to the Elections Assistance Commission, 1.9 million ballots were cast in 16 and never counted. In addition, we had almost 3 million mail-in ballots, which were never counted. 3 million, because it's very easy to disqualify a ballot. And we had 2.4 million provisional ballots cast, of which nearly a million were never counted. By the way, the worst state in America for voting, California. But really? We'll take that on another day. Believe it or not, the only state I found
that makes
it harder to vote than any other state in a primary, however, is California.
Now, in what ways?
So I'm not going to say that only Republicans play these games, but Democrats play other games in primaries. But in the general elections, the big trick for Republicans is this mass erasure of votes and this non-count and challenge to mail-in votes, which they've been doing for years. And the Democrats walked right into it by telling people to mail in their ballots.
Yeah.
Mail-in ballots are not secret. Mail-in ballots are not secure. Mail-in ballots don't get counted, Joe Biden. He said, don't worry, mail in your ballots. All the ballots will be counted. I haven't seen Joe down in Atlanta opening those envelopes and challenging.
No, it's a little bit naive, isn't it? On the flip side of that, of course, is there are people who are concerned about the integrity of voting machines. And they've certainly, you know, in the past, at least, there have been races where you had these paperless touchscreen voting machines that were also not reliable, where they could be rigged, you know, to flip votes. So it seems like a no-win situation. What do we do here if you don't trust the machines? But on the other hand, if you mail your ballot in, they might just throw it away. What do we need to do to fix this?
Real simple. I'm going to tell you right now. Don't worry about the machines. First of all, very few states. Pennsylvania is the only place I think left in America where you have what we call push and pray machines. That is, you press a button and you hope that you pray it gets recorded.
Well, that's so good to know. I know years ago I interviewed a medieval whistleblower on how they were doing that.
Yeah, so we don't have that problem anymore, really, as a practical matter. But mailing in your vote's insane. Don't go postal. I just told you, according to Caltech and MIT, 22% of all mail-in votes don't get counted. And overwhelmingly, it's voters of color, young people. The chance your ballot, if it's mailed in, will not be counted is 300% higher if you're Black than if you're white, and about 1,200% higher if you are 25 or under versus, an old dude like me above 65.
Is it true nationally, or is this primarily an issue in some of these, southern and swing states, Republican-controlled states, or does the same thing happen in places like, California or
West Coast? I said, California is one of the worst places for counting ballots, so you can't go. Like I said, California had 1 million provisional ballots where people were told you can't vote, and 400,000 were rejected. That's the California's report to the federal government. Interestingly, when you ask Alex Padilla how many provisional ballots can count, he said, "Oh, we count them. We count over 90%," and that's been reported without question. But I actually looked up. But it's one thing to bullshit reporters and lie in their faces, because what reporter in America actually checks a fact? They don't. If it's said by an official, "Oh, where'd you get that baloney fact?" "Oh, from the Secretary of State." Well, of course he's going to lie to you. So, in fact, according to the federal government, the papers filed by California says that we reject 40% of provisional ballots. 400,000 provisional ballots were rejected in 2016 by the state of California. So, you got the goober states. You got so what we have is a problem with voting in almost every state. Some states actually are fairly honest. Oregon, Washington State, and that's it. Oregon and Washington.
Well, now California did do one thing. They've added a tracking mechanism now, so you can go to Track My Ballot and you can find out if it was received and supposedly will be counted. I know Harvey Wasserman, I interviewed him yesterday, and he said he found out his was rejected because of a non-signature match. So he was able to at least have an opportunity to go and fix that, which is something you couldn't do.
Now, how many people, let me ask you a question, Miriam. So Harvey Wasserman is great because he's a voting rights.
Right. Expert. Most people don't know.
And most people, one, don't know they can check. Number two, most people don't know that if it's something like a signature, they can cure their ballot. And who was the forgery expert who said that his signature had been forged? Because when they're saying it doesn't match, what they mean is that it's a forged and fraudulent ballot. So
Harvey, lots of people just get older and your signature gets a little more scrawny. Right.
Never been challenged. And the other thing is most people don't know how to cure it. But you can't cure every ballot. I can tell you two people in San Diego who lost their ballot. Yes, you can look it up. My mother, my late mother, actually, in the mayoral race in San Diego, and my sister was a lawyer. My mother was a union leader. My sister's a lawyer. They both lost their mail-in ballots in San Diego because they didn't fully fill in a bubble. So, and there's no way to cure that. They don't say, come back in and fill in the bubble.
So you can't do that. Yeah.
And it's not minor, as you know, the Democrat, and that race, by the way, the Democrat, the woman, Donna Frye.
Oh, I remember that.
Won the mayor's race in San Diego.
The Union Tribune pulled the records, approved it, but they didn't count them. And I remember there were people who'd written in Donna Frye, but spelled F-R-Y instead of F-R-Y-E or something. And they said, oh, no, this is not voter intent. They didn't really mean to vote for this is not a vote for Donna Frye. It was right. Completely
crazy. So they knocked out 5,000 mail-in ballots, which is why. And so the election was flipped, even though clearly 5,000 voters were clearly trying to vote for the Democrat Donna Frye, and they reversed it. So anyone that mails in their ballot because they think it's safer because it's on a piece of paper, guys, you're insane. Don't go postal. And it's a very difficult thing. And by the way, the only reason why Biden won in Georgia and the only reason why the Democrats even stand a chance in a runoff is because the African-American leadership of Georgia told people, don't mail in your ballot. It doesn't matter what Biden said. You don't mail in your ballot. You go and vote.
So they went early to the polls, the parade to the polls.
There's all, like I say, there's all kinds of cockamamie reasons why they can cancel your mail-in ballot. And they do. And that's what I'm concerned with in Georgia. Just as the mayoral race was stolen by the Republicans in San Diego through challenging ballots. And so people are worried that the real issue, and what's interesting to me, is the Democrats have not tried to get ballots recounted or ballots requalified that were rejected. They just said, okay. And they're mainly defending against these.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm thinking of a race out here in Santee right now, you know, our area, right? Santee. Mm-hmm. There is a race right now where the Democrat is trailing by five votes. She's running against a guy who was the co-founder of Defend East County, which has been sort of, you know, had some racial ties and all of that. And he's the Republican. And so you're saying a candidate like that could go in and
let me ask you a question. How many provisional ballots were, you know, like I said, California is the provisional ballot champ. How many voters in that race were shunted to provisional ballots?
I should do a public records request and find out. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. And then find out why they were sent to provisional ballots and fight to get them counted. Mm-hmm. The other is how many mail-in ballots were rejected.
Mm-hmm.
Postage. You know so in 2016, because we don't have this year's yet, over 100,000 ballots were chucked because of postage due. 141,000 ballots were discarded because, as like with Harvey Weinstein, Harvey Wasserman, you're talking about, someone challenged their signatures. 141,000 ballots. We don't have 141,000 people committing forgery. It's nonsense. We have
ballots. Is it too late now? I mean, if someone were to go on right now and they looked up, let's say they're a Santee voter and they go look up and find out their ballot was rejected because of a bad signature, but it was really them. Is it too late to fix it?
Probably, but you can usually, you have a week to cure it.
Mm-hmm.
And as they say, to go in and say, no, that really is me. That's not a fake signature. It's really me. Or you folded the ballot wrong. So it didn't, in other words, we think, oh, it's wonderful to have paper ballots, except for one problem. We don't count paper ballots by hand. We count them by machine. If you fold it wrong or use the wrong color, don't fill in the bubble correctly, the machine kicks it out. You've just lost your vote.
Yeah, the scanner doesn't work.
Scanners are bad news.
Yeah.
And so there's no such thing as a paper election in America. It's either you either vote on a machine or you vote on or it's read by a machine. In Los Angeles, we have a fairly good system in which while you make your choices on a computer that is a touchscreen pad, it's actually a physical printed out paper ballot, but the machine makes sure that it's done in a correct manner so that, you know, it fills in your bubble for you perfectly and make sure that you don't say, for example, accidentally vote for two candidates. Some people, make mistakes and they try to scratch out a choice. Well, they just lost their ballot in most cases, you know, and by the way, every county is different in California. We have 3,500 counties in America. Not only does every state have a different method, so does every county. San Diego is not the same as Orange or Sonoma.
Right. Yeah. So, Greg, do you have any final comments here on the national election overall? We've talked a lot about Georgia, but what about all those other states out there? Is there anything else that you've seen that you think people should be aware of here?
Well, go to gregpalace.com. You'll see a lot. I mean, we did an investigation not only in Georgia, but in Wisconsin and Michigan. In Wisconsin, we had great success. That is, we stopped the state from purging 123,000 voters that were going to be purged. And this is a phony purge list.
And what was the margin of victory there for Biden?
Well, that's the whole thing. Are you ready? I mean, Biden has only won by about 20,000 votes. And I got to tell you, we actually looked at the race of each of these voters, which you can do using, census tract matching, geotagging. The list of voters that they're going to remove from the voter rolls. And by the way, as I said, the list is ridiculous. It's wrong. It says people have moved. That was 123,000. You would have, so Biden would have been crushed.
It really makes us wonder if some of these states that Trump apparently won, if Greg Palast had gone in and looked at the voter rolls there and looked for purges, might there be more states out there, do you think?
North Carolina. North Carolina was absolutely stolen, and they stole that Senate seat for Tom Tillis. We did go through the voter rolls, the purge, the massive purge. We're talking over a 500,000 voters were removed from the voter rolls in North Carolina. And from our experience, about half of that is incorrect. And most of those incorrectly removed are young people, Black people, Hispanics, and Asian Americans. Asian Americans are the new target, by the way. Probably because they switched. They used to vote Republican in the main. Now Asian Americans vote about 75% Democratic. So
fascinating.
North Carolina was another steal. Ohio was a steal. And Michigan came very close to being stolen, both the Senate seat and the presidential race. We busted that one. We released our reports there. And again, and by the way, do go to GregPalast.com. I think you want to see those films.
Absolutely.
Go to Leonardo DiCaprio's Instagram storybook, story page, I guess they call it. I'm not an Instagram. I'm not Instagram savvy. So,
me either, but a lot of folks are. So,
well, I mean, that's, you know, those old
saying by Stalin comes to mind of, it's not who votes that counts, it's who counts the votes. And thank you, Greg Palast, for being out there standing up for democracy and fighting to make sure that as many votes get counted as you possibly can. And for listeners or viewers out there who want to support your efforts, I understand you have a fund, right?
We have a not-for-profit foundation. Listen, you want to make a tax-deductible donation to save the vote in Georgia? I'm not partisan. I just want people to be allowed to vote. You know, let's try something new. Let's have this time the president was picked by the voters. How refreshing. It looks like it. And let's see if the U.S. Senate can be picked by the voters, not by this racist Jim Crow trickery. So go to GregPalast.com, and there, the Palast Investigative Fund, we're 501c3 tax-deductible. Donations to our foundation are always appreciated. And I do hope that you guys continue to support KNSJ, your weapon of mass instruction in San Diego.
Absolutely. Well, Greg, as always, it's been a great pleasure to have you on our show. Greg, folks, by the way, has some local roots. His parents used to live right here in La Mesa.
Yes.
So East County roots. Greg, thanks so much for joining us today on the East County Magazine Radio Show on KNSJ.
This is Miriam Raftery, producer of the East County Magazine Radio Show. If you would like to be the media, here's your opportunity. We're looking for some more talented volunteers for our East County Magazine Radio Show. So if you've got radio experience or just a great voice, or if you'd like to get experience writing scripts or special reports for the East County Magazine Radio Show on KNSJ, we'd like to hear from you. You can call us at 619-698-7617 or send an email to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We're your community media, bringing you news from our region that reflects the public interest, not special interests. This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Royalty Free Music, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine Radio Show or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show.